The responsibility of walking in revelatory harmony. The end type of Haron, Moses, Ha, and Joshua, Part 3. The following message was preached by Brother Amos on the morning of Sunday, December the 4th, 2022, during the waiting service at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, Nigeria. As the third and final installment of this message, it is a beautiful expose of leadership and unity, and a clear depiction of the bride's true ministry. To God be all the glory. Good morning, brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless you all. As we conclude the message we started yesterday afternoon, which we have laid out as the first and second parts of this scribe series, let me warn this morning, you cannot walk this way without following apostolic leadership, for you will not make it in the bride of Christ. You cannot walk this way of revealed faith on your own. You just will not make it. Period. You will not be there. I repeat, without the followership of the apostolic leadership that Jesus Christ has re-established on the planet today, this apostolic lead ministry, bearing this present and continuing light of Christ, you will not make it as bride. And that is an absolute fact. For I will tell you today, we are back in the hour of apostles, original seed apostles. We are back in the apostolic hour, and nothing will make it through as bride that is not solidly established upon the foundation, this completed foundation of truth. Anyone that pitches his tent outside of it is going under, and anyone who pitches his tent against it will be spiritually pulverized, because there is only one foundation of life, and it is the apostolic foundation. It is for this principal reason, this major reason, that you are either established on it, or you are on sinking sand. As God is not playing a game of dominoes. You just cannot walk this way alone, because you will not find your way through. You will not make it as bride. Just as the chorus of this song, Come Walk With Me, says, Come walk with me, the way is straight and narrow, come walk with me. You cannot walk alone, for the road is rough, and there are many dangers. Come walk with me, and I will lead you home. Brothers and sisters, this road is rough, and there are many dangers, and it is full of trials and temptations everywhere. As such, utter the banner of the present and continuing light, the concluding standard of the true revelation of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible, the devil will get you. You cannot make it on your own, because without apostolic leadership, you just will not make it. Period. And as we laid out yesterday, when we consider revelatory unity, the one voice, the voice which the men in the ministry must and will carry around the globe. At this time of the end, you must add that voice unequivocally to Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. For when we come to this end time, saints of God, Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11, is a pivotal prophecy. It is a key ministerial promise of Almighty God, a major one, and it gives us John. Consequently, you have got to see it, for it is a game changer for the elect bride at this last junction of time in Laodicea, right here at this harvest time. And exactly why is it a game changer? It is because we are now looking directly at the apostolic lead ministry of completion, and hence, a possession, not the possession of a physical land, but of glory land, heaven, on the glorious day of rapture. Therefore, we must stay with this crucial Bible promise ministry. Keep your eyes on that. Winds will blow, and storms will rage, but you stay with it. Keep your eyes squarely on the promise. Stay with the scriptures, as this is the ending apostolic guide for the bride of Jesus Christ, the end type of Enoch. Revelation chapter 10, from verse 8 records. And the voice which I, John, heard from heaven, which is the voice of Almighty God, spake unto me again, after having earlier instructed John in verse 4, not to write the message of the seven thunders, and said, Go and take the little book, which is the scroll of redemption, which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. This is the angel characterizing Jesus Christ. So, we can say John took the open scroll from Jesus Christ, because that is the angel of Christ. He appeared as Christ, and spoke as Christ. He characterized the very image and personality of Jesus Christ, with the glory cloud, and the rainbow covenant, with his feet as bronze, for he stood at judgment, and his eyes like fire, and his voice as a voice of many waters, which is the voice of intercession, the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ. That was why when John saw him in Revelation chapter 1, at the beginning of his prophetic encounter on the Isle of Patmos, John fell down as dead. And now this angel characterizing Jesus Christ is revealed here to John in Revelation chapter 10 with the fully open scroll of redemption in his hand. And what exactly did God tell John to do? I ask this pertinent question because you have to see exactly where we are in time within God's plan of redemption. Verse 8 gives us what God instructed John to do, just as the Holy Bible provides. Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it, and eat it up. The mighty angel did not say, Eat part of it, and share the balance with another ministry, or share it with the other thunders recorded in verses 3 to 4. And neither was he asked to share it with the ministry of the star messenger to Laodicea, recorded in verse 7. The angel of Christ most definitely did not say that. Rather, he said in verse 9, Take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Verse 10, And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up. John ate the entire book or scroll of redemption, showing us incontrovertibly that the complete revelation of Jesus Christ is fully committed to and fully invested in John. Full stop. He is carrying the full revelation of Jesus Christ, both written and unwritten. He does not have the unwritten as yet, as it will be, when he has this prophetic encounter with Archangel Michael, the angel of Christ, after Christ breaks the seventh seal in heaven, which is when John will bear the unwritten. That is precisely why John bears his prophetic ministry ahead of every other thunder, because no other man will know that the seventh seal has been broken, and that angel Michael has come down, except John. Now listen, church, God gave the instruction, the direction, telling John, go and take the little book. And Jesus Christ, who was characterized by his angel, did not say no, but he also fully agreed, being perfectly united with the will of the Father in this regard, just as he does in all things regarding God. And as such, Christ gave John the scroll to eat. So, it is scripturally settled that John ate the entire scroll, under the commission and the commandment of both God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And when John had finished eating the scroll in the prophetic vision, what did Jesus Christ say in verse 11? Verse 11 provides, And he, Jesus Christ, speaking through Michael, his angel, said unto me, Thou, John, must prophesy again, a second time, before many people, races, and nations, and tongues, tribes, and kings. This gives the end time John a global ministry outreach, and it is a commission which conveys nothing other than the wrapping up ministry of John for the redemption of the elect Gentile world bride. Consequently, and inarguably, we are looking squarely at a wrapping up ministry, the ending apostolic lead ministry of the universal nation of the bride. For scripturally and non-controvertibly, this is a lead apostle both God and his Son are using to conclude or complete God's great plan of Gentile redemption. Because everything that has a beginning ultimately has an end, a definite end. This Gentile redemption started with Apostle Paul, the bearer of the standard of the revealed faith of Jesus, the Lord's blueprint of universal redemption, in the first age of Christendom, and in this seventh and final age of Christendom. It ends with Apostle John. As I stated in the last segment of this scribe message, we have laid out this crucial truth in our scribe, titled, Just Before the Crossing Over, and it is an incontestable and infallible testimony of the Holy Scriptures. Romans 11, 13 and 1 Corinthians 3 verses 10 to 11 and Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11, and John 21 verse 22. I am saying that to make a fundamental and extremely crucial point, which is this, as God called Moses and gave him the standard of physical redemption for the nation of Israel from Egypt, so likewise, God in Jesus Christ also called John and gave him the ending standard of spiritual redemption, the standard of completion for the universal nation of the bride. It is for this very reason, when it comes to the Holy Bible, you are on my turf, as the lead apostle of the universal bride of Christ. When it comes to issues of the Holy Scriptures, you are on my terrain and apostolic terrain, the terrain of the original seed apostles. As an original seed apostle of Jesus Christ, one of the end-time apostolic fathers, according to the will of God, I do not care what the color of your skin is. Whether you are white or black or brown or yellow, you are on my turf. I am not an apostle of money or materialism, for I do not preach mammon and neither do I carry a gospel of materialism. I do not even have money and neither do I care for it, as it is only a medium of carnal exchange, a medium for purchasing the material and temporal things of this world. It is you, my brethren here, as well as a few of my brethren out there, that the Lord is using to cover my nakedness and to carry my financial burdens. I do not have anything, materially speaking, and I do not preach money. But when it comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ of the Holy Scriptures, my pocket is full of the treasures of the Word of Life. When it comes to the divine interpretation of the Holy Bible, you are on my turf, and I say this as the ending Gentile scribe of Jesus Christ. It is all by the grace of God, for it is the Lord's doing, and I give God all the praise. I am only glorying in the sheer grace and mercy of God towards a most wretched one like me. The cogent and indisputable fact remains, brothers and sisters, just like Moses. The testator of the Old Covenant commissioned Joshua to continue and conclude the physical redemption of Israel from Egypt to establish her in the promised land. So likewise, Jesus Christ, the testator of the New Covenant, also commissioned the end-time John to carry the continuing and concluding light of the Word of God, to lead the elect bride of Christ directly to the rapture, straight to glory land, which is heaven. Furthermore, just as it was then, under the prophetic lead ministry of Moses, that the threefold ministry of Israel was constituted, giving us prophets, priests, and Levites in the same vein, under the apostolic lead ministry of John, the original seed fivefold ministry of the universal bride will equally be constituted today. Do not forget, it was not constituted under the chief apostolic ministry of Brother Raymond Jackson, the end-time Paul, because the reproduction of this original seed efficient ministry brings us to the hour of the coming great revival of the royal word bride, and John is the messenger in the latter reign. Brothers and sisters, you must know that these men are coming, but first, with the foundation of faith having now been completed, God has to give John preeminence to bear this voice, this present, and continuing, and concluding message of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible, around the world, to catch the elect seeds of God who are foreordained as bride, for they are coming. It is to open the eyes of men. It is to give people an opportunity to see this present truth, and to follow it, standing firmly, categorically, and unshakably for it. Whilst that is going on, God is also allowing the foundation to be proven, tested, to show its inerrability, its immutability, and its inviolability, because it is a foundation that cannot be shaken, being the foundation of life. Therefore, God will allow it to be proven, as men are being established on it, to give the bride a live ministry. And exactly what caliber or class of men are we talking about? We are looking strictly at faithful men. They are men who are called, and chosen, and faithful. Revelation 17:14. Many men have been called today, given an opportunity to minister to the elect bride, to be a part of the coming original class of efficient ministry the early church lost. However, what they do with this opportunity is totally between them and God. This is what determines whether they will be in the coming efficient fivefold ministry, which is ordained for the revival of the bride of Christ, or not. One thing, however, is definite about the men we will have in the bride, the spiritual belt of their trousers, is sincerity and faithfulness. And when they tie their belts, there is absolutely nothing the devil can offer them to make them compromise or to make any difference. They are totally yielded and surrendered to God. They are very content and happy in whatever position they are placed and in whatever way the Master wants to use them, being most appreciative of the sovereign election of God. I said, they are very content, very happy, and most appreciative of whatever capacity or grace the Lord has invested in them, and for whatever way they are used and to what extent and in whatever measure it pleases the master to use them. They are happy and content and grateful, because none of these men have any secret inordinate, undue, evil, ambition. They are not self-seeking men, and neither are they game players, nor are they politicians. Brothers and sisters, they are most certainly not game players and politicians. They are ministers of the light, upon whom devolves the security and the spiritual advancement of the bride of Christ. That is why they will most faithfully lift up the same one voice. They will carry the same one Bible message, lifting up the light as one man. And exactly what light is that? It is the present, continuing, climaxing, and concluding light of Jesus Christ, and is precisely what they are going to lift up to show the true way to the bride of Christ universal, as the head of the universal church. This is because the head of the universal bride is the efficient fivefold ministry under Christ, who is our head. Consequently, they are going to lift up this light in its sheer excellent brilliance, in its total utter magnificence, particularly as there is no age that has the incredible measure of light that is now shining here at this third and final junction of time, in this seventh and last age. Just as the song says, there has never been a day like this day. There has never been a time that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. And indeed, never a time shines as bright. Talking about the deep unveiling of the Word of God and the utter clarity and purity of the revelation that is projected, which we have received today from the Spirit of Christ, right here at this last junction of Gentile time. So, this marvelous light is precisely what these ministers of light will shine forth and lift up, so the elect bride of Christ can see her pathway through this extremely dense religious jungle, clearly and brilliantly, leaving her in no doubt as to which way she is to follow. And with this great light, a divine flood light, this chosen man will condemn and cast out all darkness, all creeds, all dogma, all traditions, and all carnal ideas of men. They will remove every stumbling in the way of the word bride, in order to give her absolute peace, total security, quantum spiritual progress, and unhindered prosperity, most especially as they are ministers and guarantors of her peace and prosperity. Church, as I must keep emphasizing, as Joshua was commissioned by Moses, the testator of the old covenant, in the same vein, the end-time John was commissioned by Jesus Christ, who is the testator of the new covenant. For as Moses commissioned Joshua to war, that he may take the children of Israel to the promised land, being the minister of possession, so has Jesus Christ, the testator of the new covenant, equally commissioned John to carry in the complete light of the word of God, the word of truth, and war against all unrighteousness and against all unbelief of men, in order to take the bride to glory land. Consequently, you will not make it his bride outside of the followership of this present and continuing light, because you just cannot make it on your own. There are many dangers in this way, and the road is rough. Moreover, the bride has now just entered a very rough and volatile border, an extremely rough terrain, and hence, a roller coaster ride is what we will now begin to experience. Come on! And if you think it has started, I tell you, it has not yet started. We now want to enter this roller coaster ride, as the waters will be very rough and extremely choppy, turbulent. It is the proving of the foundation. This is where the waters will be very rough and choppy. And as a result, if your anchor does not hold, you will have to fall off. This is where the proving is. This is where the waters are seriously turbulent and violent, for we are looking at boisterously rough waters, with great storms blowing. Let me remind you that the days of the end time Joshua is loaded with war, for fierce conflicts are facing this continuity movement. It is not to make you scared, but it is a fact. It is a reality we are facing at this junction of time. At this present time, we are entering an extremely rough terrain. However, after that, there will be peace in the camp of the bride, because this roughness has a purpose to serve, and then it will pass. And when we pass the spiritually turbulent phase we are now entering into, there will be peace in the camp of the bride, everywhere around the globe, because all they can, ministers who are troublers of Israel, with their Babylonish garment and a wedge of gold, will all have gone, leaving only the elect men of God, who have been foreordained for the word bride, standing, moving, and ministering as one man. Do not forget that in that day, in the early church, every man who ministered to the bride, whether his name was Apollos, or his name was Barnabas, or his name was Titus, or his name was Timothy, all stood with the revelation of Jesus Christ that Apostle Paul bore, as the apostle of the Gentiles, the wise master builder, the man who held the apostleship of the uncircumcision, Gentiles. And they all stood as one man, carrying this one voice, maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And if divine unity could be obtained in the first age of Christendom, brothers and sisters, simply magnify that reality which the early church ministry had and transpose it to this seventh age of Christendom, right here at this harvest time, for that is exactly the reality we will equally have, and it will even bear an ending glory, which is a greater glory. What is so difficult to see in that, if unbelief has not taken over the hearts of men? What is so hard to comprehend in this issue, if not for the stony-heartedness of men? What is it that people cannot see? What is so mysterious in what I am saying? And exactly what is a lie in it? You may think or say, oh, it is all about self, self, self. You stay there, for you have no clue about the ways and the leadership of God, because this is not a game, and neither is it abracadabra, something that is hidden or mysterious. That is principally why in almost every epistle of St. Paul, he began with a declaration of his apostolic ministry, as if he needed to remind us every time. In Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, for instance, Apostle Paul plainly stated, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated, elected and set apart unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Again, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, St. Paul similarly declared, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So, I challenge you, go ahead, and call these Holy Ghost-inspired written declarations, self-declarations. Go ahead and condemn Apostle Paul for stating all these declarations, and equally say of the Apostle of the Gentiles. It is all about self, self, self. Come on! Because the inspiration of God and the ways of our God do not change, for it is absolutely one. Please see Romans 11:13 and 1 Corinthians 3:10, amongst many other scriptures. Brothers and sisters, we all know that the inspiration and the judgment of God is one. The absolute fact remains, someone in the first age of Christendom had to be used to carry the light in its beginning projection, just as someone in this seventh and final age of Christendom also has to be used to carry the light in its ending projection. Someone has to be used, and you do not determine it. Someone has to be used to carry the wrapping up standard, the final standard, which gives us the ultimate standard of truth. Somebody has to be the apostolic lead minister of possession, and God alone determines it, the very God who also chose Joshua, the son of Nun, as the prophetic lead minister of possession for the children of Israel in the wilderness. Joshua was a prophetic lead ministry. However, his work required that he waged war against all the Canaanites to dislodge them from the promised land, because the land they were to possess was not vacant. During the time that Moses carried the light of God, bringing deliverance to the children of Israel in Egypt, as a deliverer, he did not need to fight. On the other hand, and in total contrast, Joshua, in order to fulfill his own lead ministry commission, even though a prophet, was required to fight, for he had to be a warrior. That was even why when Moses was still on ground, Joshua was already warring for Israel, because Moses recognized what God had invested in him. Are you hearing me? I am saying, before Moses passed away, Moses was already utilizing the gift, the grace that God had invested in Joshua as a warrior. Joshua was a warrior, the captain of the host of Israel. That is precisely what we see in this scribe message in the battle of Israel against Amalek. Coming to this Laodicean age, Raymond Jackson, the chief apostle of this end time, did the very same thing with the end time John, the Joshua of possession, for he used the end-time John to do battle during his conventions at Faith Assembly, although Brother Jackson was the Joshua of continuity. Hence, in total contrast to the end-time Paul, saints of God, the end-time John is the Joshua of completion and possession. It is for this major reason that on the evening of Saturday, April the 24th, 2004, at the Spring Convention of Faith Assembly, Jeffersonville, Indiana, USA, just as the chief apostle invited me the day to take the podium to deliver my sermon titled Locating God, the Visitation of God, the video message which can be viewed on the video page of our website, the Holy Spirit suddenly gave a very pertinent and crucial prophetic message through Kevin Craze, who is now the present day assistant pastor of Faith Assembly. The Holy Spirit declared, "Yea, my people, have I not declared unto thee, yea, that this message, a continuity, yea, that is being established, it shall go unto the ends of this earth, saith the Lord. Yea, I have sent this vessel, referring to me, that he shall testify, yea, of the work, and that which is established, yea, many miles away, in Africa, giving us this message of completeness. It is my hand, yea, it is my work, that I have brought it about. I have established it, and nothing, yea, shall come against it." Now listen closely to this, for we are living in the reality of this extremely key prophetic declaration about this present, continuing, and concluding light of Jesus Christ. And just how true and perfect this prophetic pronouncement is, how most exacting, precisely accurate. The Holy Spirit declared plainly and categorically, "For it shall stand, yea, through battles, through fire. Yea, my truth will go on, and it shall accomplish that which it was intended. And I say, it is my master plan. I say it is I, the living God, that have brought it to be. Yea, the political man, a collective noun, standing for all the politicians in the ministry, who were supposedly following the continuity later of Apostle Paul, has established his agenda, but it shall have no effect. For in the end, I shall prevail, and my word shall be yea and amen, saith the Lord." This prophecy gives us none other than the ending Joshuaic ministry of John, the Lord's battle axe against all untruths, against all unbelief, and all iniquities of men. For we are looking squarely at the end time, Boanerges, the son of thunder, bearing an extremely militant anointing. Mark 3 verses 16 to 17. We have brought out this truth in our scribe, titled, The Spirit of John, as well as in our scribe, titled, The Hour of Gold. Because all untruths and all traditions of men have to be torn down and totally stripped from the bride, and her true ministry have to be purified, just as the sons of Levi and all non-seeds also have to be fenced off, for she is the word bride, the pure seed original bride, a virgin of the word. And although John is bearing the voice, message, of truth in his completeness, which is the drawing cord for all God's elect seeds ordained as bride, nevertheless, we must also realize that he is also bearing a separating voice, solely designed to get back original seeds. That is precisely why the end-time John presents the message of truth with divine militant hardness, which only elect seeds, who are the children of light, can bear. For the elects of God, unlike non-elects, only see the absolute purity, the great depth, the crystal clarity, and the immense richness of the truth of John, and not its manner of presentation, because despite the rough wrapper of truth, they can see the truth of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible in plain view, in its awesome divine projection. And it is for this extremely cogent reason that back in the Fall Convention of September 2003, in the evening, I delivered a message titled, The Position of the Bride Ministry, and during worship service, a message went forth in tongues by a sister. The interpretation was given by the chief apostle himself, the Spirit of the Lord seriously warning, and he prophesied thus, "My children, this is another occasion that I, the living God, have provided and set for the establishment of my purpose. I have said in former times, that as the days draw near, I will do a strange thing amongst my people, things that will begin to tear away the old traditions of man's thinking. For I say to you, my little children, this is a way thou hast never walked before. This prophecy of the Holy Ghost gives us nothing but the ministry of truth, pure truth, the original pure word. And you cannot apply it to anyone other than the ending standard-bearing apostolic ministry of John, the ending Joshua, the Joshua of completion. And it is no wonder, for it is undoubtedly the same fundamental reason. Brother Jackson also warned the Jackson movement about this Joshua of possession, saying to them in true spiritual essence, "Do not say he is rough," speaking of the manner of his ministry. That is a warrior, and as such, you have to look at the truth that is in projection, although it is coming in a rough wrapper, because truth is what will settle this thing in the final analysis, as it is all about the truth. Brothers and sisters, in the Contendo magazine, titled The Body of Christ, Part 3, Page 3, Column 5, speaking about the actualization of divine unity, and about the putting together of the original order of the Ephesian ministry, Brother Jackson stated prophetically, "I will have to say this morning, God will not start unity with the voice of men. He will start with the voice of one man that will lift up the truth strong enough, loud enough, that those men, elected for the bride, will know God is in it. And that is what I'm saying this morning. If there is to be unity of faith, there has got to be the voice of one man who all the other men will get aligned with." Always remember, brothers and sisters, the birth of anything, you get the head first, the apostolic head of the original Ephesian fivefold ministry, for you cannot have a ministry body without a head, its head. The head's got to be set in motion first. That head don't have to be one man, but it starts with one man. And as that one man speaks, other components of the head join with it. And then, when the body of Christ universal begins to see that the head is taking shape, then the people can begin to say, "As for me and my house, we're going to go that way." So, this morning, brothers and sisters, it's not the big and little you. It's not Dr. Doolittle. Then who is it? Listen to what the chief apostle declared, saying plainly and categorically, "But it's a brother that God has known, foreordained before the foundation of the world, to be the end and lead apostle." Brother Jackson added, "I have to say today, God's going to put his head, the apostolic head of the true body of Christ, in shape. The head's got to speak, Jesse. The body of Christ cannot be a nucleus of people running here and there with their ideas. Now catch this, for here it comes. Well, I don't like to hear him preach. He's too rough. Let's follow Jesus. Did you catch it? Did you really hear that? They look at his manner of ministry and condemn him, thinking and all saying, well, I don't like to hear him preach. He's too rough. Let's follow Jesus." It is because people do not see what the spirit of the day is saying, what the spirit of Laodicea is saying. They do not have any clue about the hour we are living in and what manner of ministry the day demands. This is the darkest hour so far, where moral perverts have completely taken over the world, particularly the political leadership of the Western world, an abominable perversion which preachers in church organizations are now bowing to, as they are all now falling at the feet of LGBTQ, which is nothing but demon possession. This hour gives us the abominable evil of Sodom and Gomorrah, taken to another level entirely, for it is now at its zenith, highest level, and on an utterly perplexing, most unimaginable, and epic scale. For we are currently living in the hour of the great apostasy in Christendom, an unparalleled apostasy, also scripturally called perilous times, exceedingly troublous and dangerous times, where Christianity has been totally bastardized, with open rebellion in all human societies, and humanity now openly and brazenly spitting in the face of God, their Maker. Brothers and sisters, the voice of John is the voice that is unequivocally condemning all unbelief and all unrighteousness in this hour. It is an hour I often call the vengeance of iniquity, for it is an hour when iniquity now has a bold face and is terrorizing righteousness, an hour when moral perversion is legalized, applauded, glorified, rewarded, and demanded, proving that we are indeed at the very end, for it is harvest time, where the seeds of the spirit have come to full maturity. A humanity that has been completely taken over by fallen spirits, coupled with an apostate world of Christendom, is precisely what the end-time John has to contend with, and hence, the hour demands nothing but outright, consistent, and unrelenting divine militancy. Church, it is on account of the mind-boggling and extremely terrible reality we are facing today that way back in 1962, in his message titled Supersign, the larger prophet to this Laodicean age, spoke prophetically about the manner of the end-time Joshuaic ministry of possession, plainly declaring in paragraph 64, there will come forth a prophet one of these days, preaching the original word of God. You talk about me telling you about having bob hair or something. Wait until you get a hold of him. Wait till you listen to him. You think I'm rough on organization. Wait till he comes in existence. He will restore all the years that the Palmer were meeting. It'll be a message go for off. The Bible message of completeness. This prophetic quote of Brother Branham gives us in crystal clear terms the rallying voice for the true word bright ministry. And it is the standard-bearing ministry of John carrying the message of the Holy Bible in its revelational completeness with total divine militancy. Consequently, I do not care whether they are apostles or prophets or evangelists or pastors or teachers. Every man will stay in his lane, following apostolic leadership, and no man will break his rank, and neither will they jostle against one another. Look at it. Both apostles Nathanael and Barnabas did not make an attempt to write a single verse of scripture. Neither did they try to bear any new revelation in order for them to be recognized as having something. They stayed humbly and faithfully with what had been revealed through their chosen apostolic ministry. They also walked humbly and faithfully within the measure of grace the Lord had invested in them, and they only did precisely what God gave them to do, without competing with Apostle Paul, or even with another man, either for position or for recognition. Therefore, in this last move, right here at this end time, it is scripturally settled, every man will know his limitations, the bounds of his gift, and he will abide in his calling, and stay where God put him, and do only what God has called him to do, knowing with absolute certainty that the mind of the Spirit of God requires a united stand and one voice, walking and speaking as one man. They will have different ministries, with different measures of grace. Yet they will all function as one man, because it is all about Jesus Christ. So, I say this morning, just like Moses, who stood at the gate of the camp of Israel, also said in the day, in Exodus chapter 32, verse 26, who is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. It is further written in the same verse, and all the sons of Levi, who were the true ministry to the children of Israel, gathered themselves together unto him. And if you say that you will not stand with me on account of the revealed faith of Christ, then I challenge you. Come and show me just where I miss it. Show me. Show me what I have preached or taught in the scribe that overturns the word of God, for you not to stand. Because you will not make it on your own into the bride, the royal bride of Jesus Christ. It is not a threat. It is simply a scriptural fact. So, take it from me. You will never make it on your own. Because back in the wilderness, following the demise of Moses, Joshua carried the mind of God for the hour of time, and it was a concluding move. When God called Moses, whom the Lord showed Joshua precisely how to cross Jordan into the promised land, and in all the inspired writings of Moses, in the Torah, there was not one single verse that showed just how the children of Israel were to cross Jordan. That divine insight, that revelation, came straight from heaven, and it came fresh, directly and exclusively to Joshua, and the children of Israel stayed firmly and unwaveringly with Joshua in his continuing and concluding light. The Lord had declared to Joshua, giving him an inviolate promise in Joshua 1-5, no man will ever be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And no man did. No man could, for it was not a game. The same applies today, for our God remains the same, and this is also not a game, particularly as this is God's sending plan of universal redemption. Come on! Brothers and sisters, let me also say today, there is no man in any part of this globe who can offend or stand in the way of this ending apostolic lead ministry. May God help us all. The absolute, undeniable, and immutable scriptural fact remains this: there is a great divine responsibility devolving upon every man who seeks to make it into this special class of men for the royal bride, the men we have portrayed right here. Brother Amos points to the chart. They bear the full responsibility of walking in perfect revelatory harmony, which demands that every man be extremely mindful of what he preaches and or teaches, that every man be mindful of what he says and projects, taking utmost care to ensure he is bearing the same one voice, the voice having unity of the faith, seen eye to eye on all issues of revealed truth. And when you have this vision, which is a God-given vision, it humbles you. It completely strips you of pride, ego, and of any inordinate ambition for bigness in the ministry, and the desire for attention, recognition, and popularity, which is what kills men, for it is how they derail and self-eliminate. This divine vision will not let you think that you are the national leader seeking for preeminence in your nation, or that your local assembly is a lighthouse in your nation or state, when the roll knocks against the efficient ministry's headship of the universal body, and is also contrary to apostolic leadership. Moreover, there can only be one lighthouse, one standard, and one fountain of every fresh water of revealed truth. Consequently, this divine vision makes you stay in your lane, faithfully keeping your rank and manning your post of duty. It makes you know your limitations, and hence, it makes you submit faithfully and unreservedly to revelatory leadership, meaning it makes you stay solidly and unshakably with the present and continuing apostolic light. Therefore, every last one of the men we have portrayed right here, lifting up one voice, Brother Amos points to the chart. No matter what fold of ministry they occupy, they will stay in their lanes and they will keep their ranks, faithfully manning their posts of duty. They will not jostle against one another, and as a result, there will be no disharmony or confusion in the ministry of the bride, only a perfect revelatory harmony. Consequently, there will be peace and prosperity in the bride of Christ around the world. Therefore, maintaining the unity of the Spirit by all these men is totally guaranteed, especially as they are the guarantors of this divine unity. And if Apostle Paul wrote to the early church bride saints, urging them to maintain the unity of the Spirit, how much more the men in the ministry, who are the vessels guaranteeing this unity? Think about it. This now leads me to ask these crucial and most fundamental questions. What caliber of men are they going to be? Exactly what do you think God is going to give the bride? And what kind of bride do you think is coming forth at this time of harvest? What kind of bride do you think she is? Saints, let me tell you this. The world will be utterly shocked when the word bride emerges, because they will wonder, where has she been? Where did these people come from? Look at it, as close as we are to many houses that be empty, no one recognizes you and I, because there is no noise, no advertisement, no handbills, no miracles, signs and wonders, nothing to attract them, or to make them realize that God is doing something wonderful here. This is because the Lord is moving and walking presently, strictly on a revelatory plane, strictly in a spiritual realm, a move that unrevelated minds cannot see, let alone appreciate. We are just here minding our business, basking in the pool of unparalleled light, establishing our souls in the deep and rich revelation of life. Following this continuing light, where our spiritual pathway has been made ever continuously brighter and brighter with each passing day, with Proverbs 4:18 having full and unhindered application. Therefore, they do not know us, and as such, in the day, they will wonder, where do they come from? That is when they will envy you, and they will want to be like you. They will want what you have, but the trials you have faced, and the sacrifices you have made, is what they do not want to go through. But they will want what you have at the time. Everyone wants to be like Joshua in the ministry. But what he passed through, the tests, the trials for faithfulness, is what they do not want. And God knew, I can put confidence and dependence on Joshua. When every elder making up the 10 elders chickened out, Joshua stood, saying together with Caleb, we can take the promised land and humble the giants, for we are more than able through God. Joshua and Caleb said, "We can take it," whilst the other 10 elders said, "No, we cannot. What are you both talking about? You just want to impress Moses. You know we cannot take that land. There are giants there, the Anakims." Joshua and Caleb said, "We can take it," and the Bible records it was because they had another spirit with them. And that is exactly what makes the difference. It always takes the men God is dealing with to make a difference, as that is what makes the difference, because no man is anything of himself. Do you not know what the Holy Scriptures say? No man can receive anything, except it is given to him from above. John 3:27. For no man is anything of himself, and there is nothing we have spiritually that we have of ourselves. There is no ability we have that we give ourselves, and there is nothing we know that we know of ourselves. It is strictly the grace of God that makes the difference, and it is what makes all the difference. Period. I have said all that, brothers and sisters, to let you understand there is a serious responsibility devolving upon all the men who desire to be in this original class of the Ephesian ministry we have depicted here on the right side. Brother Amos points to the chart, the original pure seed ministry of the New Testament church we lost, which is now to be reproduced. For the loss of the standard and original seed church aligned the enemy to take her over, following his law of reproduction, because it was all for the purpose of the reproduction of original seeds like seeds. Right here in this last age of Christendom, at this harvest time, this divine knowledge is what only the word bride possesses. For even the mainstream Branham movement do not understand this absolute truth, that it was God who actually sowed his church, following his own law of reproduction of original seeds. Therefore, you had better open your eyes and see something, as every seed begets like seed. For this third move, which is strictly an apostolic move, is a reproductive move of God. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, these are some of the fundamental issues we have laid out clearly and succinctly in our 12-part scribe message series in defense of Brother Branham, titled, God Sent Vessels of Truth, Vessels of Clay in Defense of William Branham, in opposition to BelieveTheSign.com. In the defense, which is strictly a Bible defense, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus greatly helped us to lay out the gospel truth in extremely clear, solid, and irrefutable terms, all in defense of the prophet to this last Gentile age, as we opened up the Holy Bible to let them see precisely how God has worked in this Laodicean age. We went from scripture to scripture, opening up the Holy Scriptures on the various issues of truth. We opened up the various parables, we opened up the mysteries of the kingdom in material regards, and we also opened up the prophecies of the word, unveiling the Lord's ending plan of redemption, to show Jeremy Bogan and his father, Rod Bogan, along with all the so-called levers, message levers, that they have absolutely no clue, not a diddly squat divine understanding of the truth. And still, despite this solid and scripturally untouchable defense, the overturned BelieveTheSign.com have continued their evil and demon-inspired attack of the message and ministry of William Branham, the end-time Elijah, completely undeterred. I say this because the pages on their website have now increased, for I have been back there. They now have more articles against Brother Branham, but they have kept completely mum over the defense we sent to them, acting as if they have received nothing. They could reply Owen Jorgensen though, also placing his email on their website, along with their own response, but I am still waiting for them to put our defense, or even the notice of it, on their website. They are acting as though they have received nothing, pretending that they read nothing. On Monday, the 29th of August 2022, I asked Brother Jerry Ovo to email our defense to them, which he did, at exactly 12:33 a.m. Nigerian time. And on the very same day, Monday, the 29th of August 2022, at about 11:45 p.m. 12:45 a.m. Nigerian time, Rod Bergen had already replied our email. It was an incredible response this man gave. He said, and please note all emphasis is mine, and also that I added a few punctuation marks where necessary. Thanks for sending this to us. I took a look at the first three articles, but since it contains no refutation of factual information on our website, it is not possible for me to respond. I will take a look at the other articles in the series, but the first three articles have nothing that I can outward address, since they largely consist of circular reasoning, ad hominem arguments, and invective. Shalom, Rod. And if I have prophecy, and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2 net. Brothers and sisters, in the email I sent to the saints on this very interesting response we received from the webmaster of BelieveTheSign.com, I countered, it is okay to call Brother Branham a false prophet, a false teacher, a deluded and dishonest man who has no integrity, because in their case, they did it in love. Now that the Lord has enabled us to unmask the evil spirit behind their website with the Holy Bible, we have no love. We are carrying circular reasoning, fallaciously attacking them, and abusive, but they are the ones carrying spiritual revelation, and are respectful, all because they are now completely rattled with their nakedness exposed, not expecting such a defense, having been used to the quote preachers we have in the Branham movement. Indeed, truth conquers all, for it is an absolute, and it is what will have the last say. Full stop. Since the man used Latin terminology is for us, which I had to Google, just so I could have a precise understanding of what he was saying in his email. A man is supposed to speak plainly, using simple English, so he can be understood. When speaking, if I decide to use Greek or Hebrew, just how are you to understand what I am saying? I had to Google the words of Rod Bogger myself, so that I could understand what he was saying in his response. So, now, I am abusive and rude, as that is the interpretation of his words, whilst he is humble and well-mannered, despite calling Brother Branham a delusional man, a false prophet, and a false teacher, using every negative word they can find for the prophet, all because they have no comeback. He could read the first three scribes in a matter of hours, claiming that there is nothing to respond to in these highly expository scribes. Yet, since that time, which is over 3 months now, we have received no further response from them, and there will be none either. Why do I say that? It is because the defense is just too Bible-heavy, too revelatorily deep, too scripture-perfect, and absolutely scripturally inviolate and untouchable, being a masterful unveiling of God's plan of redemption, particularly as it devolves upon this end time. It is because it is strictly a Bible defense, fortified with the reality of what God has accomplished on earth at this evening time, right here in this Laodicean age, laced with the undeniable testimonies of the great dragnet healing evangelists themselves. So, just how are they going to reply? And with what are they going to reply? Just how are they going to use the Holy Scriptures to disprove perfect and untouchable truths? How do you use the scriptures to overturn what cannot be scripturally overturned? You have got to see God in something. You must see what God is doing today, right here at this very junction of time in Laodicea, to bring completion and closure to this great plan of universal redemption for the bride, through the apostolic lead ministry of John. For I am the second apostolic fruit of the ministry of William Marion Branham, the end-time Elijah. That was why a brother called me, after having read the Defense Scribe series, and he said to me, Brother Amos, it is a masterpiece, and I give God all the glory. Since I have given this testimony, because you must see God in that defense. It is the Spirit of God lifting up the standard, and all the glory goes to the Lord God Almighty, who is the God of truth. Church, let every eagle of God be settled on this one immutable scriptural fact, the revealed truth of Jesus Christ. Is an absolute. God's truth is an absolute, and it is one, and hence, it holds against the entire world. That is the awesome and absolute power of the present and concluding apostolic light of Jesus Christ, which John is bearing. And as you all know, or should know, truth is what will have the last say. So, brothers and sisters, you must understand that there is a critical divine responsibility devolving upon all the men who want to make it here. Brother Amos points to the chart, men who want to make it into this soon to be reconstituted original efficient fivefold ministry, this pure seed ministry, masterpieces in their various folds of ministry, to maintain revelatory unity in their presentation of the word of truth. In addition, brothers and sisters, we must know that we'll all be men who are burning with a passion for Christ, eaten up completely by the zeal of God, rendering a totally selfless service to the elect body of Christ, as it is a quick short walk they are going to do. For when a man in the ministry is laid back, lacking the divine zeal, the zeal of God, a holy fire, which he is supposed to have in his service to God, there can be no fire on his altar, and there will be no fire on his altar, to inspire and motivate the flock of God. And we must know that the kindness and niceties of men in the ministry will not and cannot make up for an altar devoid of holy fire. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, is this: when we consider this divine ministry standard, self cannot enter here, ambition cannot enter here, pride and carnal ego of men, envy and jealousy, cannot enter here, political and family sentiments cannot enter here, wild oats are definitely cannot enter here, and a laid back, slapdash attitude also cannot enter here, for this superb quick short walk, which will produce a glorious church, a super church, a masterpiece of grace. Romans 9 verse 28 and Ephesians 5 verses 26 to 27. You must hear me. Self cannot enter this original class of ministry. Secret ambition cannot enter here, and neither can carnal ego, because they will throw a spanner in the works and stumble the bride, and mortgage her eternal destiny for their inordinate ambitions and secret pride. Brothers and sisters, there is a great responsibility devolving upon all the men following Jesus Christ in his present and continued revelation of the Holy Scriptures, to walk in harmony, perfect and untainted revelatory harmony, lifting up one voice, the voice, together. Consequently, if you know that one carrying the ending standard of the scripturally revealed faith of Jesus Christ, which gives us the voice, you will mind your position and stay in your lane and follow apostolic leadership. That is why, yesterday, during my sermon, in the last segment of this scribe, I said, with the passing away of the chief apostle, there is no man that supplied even one stone of revealed truth that went into this original apostolic foundation, which has just been completed, all by the divine enablement of God. No man helps me with it, by supplying even one tiny stone of revealed truth. Therefore, let every man following this continuing light sit down, and listen. And just like the lead apostle John, the last apostolic guard in the first age of Christendom, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, stated in spiritual essence, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, I equally declare, with the every scribe of Matthew 13:52, the apostolic household scribes are of God, little children, and for this fundamental reason, you will listen to us, if you are truly of God, if indeed you are not ruled by the spirit of error. For he that is of God heareth us, because we speak by the Spirit of truth, who is the Spirit of God. He that is not of God, heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of error. Period. For I will be bold to tell you this morning, by the grace of God, that Jesus Christ gave me the ending blueprint of redemption to carry, for the universal nation of the word bride, and this is the standard, the absolute standard. Brother Amos lifts up the Holy Bible. By God's grace, according to the commandment of God, and by the will of Jesus Christ, this standard is in my hand. At this very junction of time in Laodicea, I will tell you straight that you will not make it on your own into the royal word bride that is ordained for translation at this hour, without following Jesus Christ in his current standard of revealed truth. And please note, I have not said anything that other standard bearers have not said. I just gave you Apostle John's declaration in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, and further, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Apostle Paul also called himself a wise master builder, and the foundation layer. Also see Romans 2:16, Philippians 1:17 and 1 Timothy 1 verse 11, and 2 Timothy 2 verses 2 and 8. So, open your eyes and see God in something, for you have to see God in something, because it takes the Spirit of God to carry and sustain a present and continuing, ever-brightening message of the Holy Bible with revelatory consistency and harmony. Open your eyes and see the plan of God. Open your eyes and see the plot. Open your eyes and see what God is doing, all according to the Holy Scriptures, for there is no other way. See the glorious light of the Word of God that is now shining marvelously as never before. If you cannot see that the ending original efficient fivefold ministry will give us the end type of Aaron, Moses, Ha, and Joshua in their harmonious revelational stand and walking, you see absolutely nothing, and you know absolutely nothing. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother Amos prayed. The Lord bless you.